This is Barbara Glickstein. You're tuned into Health Styles here every Thursday evening at 11 p.m., brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, where you can learn more about our blog on our blog at centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. The role of the media in influencing health and influencing healthy policy is one that we like to talk about, and tonight's segment is really about how the media has been saving lives and campaigns that continue to do just that. In just a moment, you'll be hearing from my guest, Tom Maimon from Delray, Florida, someone who has personally really benefited from a way that each one of you listening can learn how to do hands-only CPR and potentially save a life. Listen to this PSA.
Everyone should know how to do hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult suddenly collapse, all you need are
two simple steps. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest until help arrives.
Just push to the beat of the classic song, Staying Alive.
It really works.
You didn't let me finish. I really do know this stuff.
If it wasn't for disco, I'd be dead.
Staying alive, staying alive.
Well, certainly down memory lane for me. My sister was the disco queen, but we all remember the Bee Gees and Staying Alive. Interestingly, that tune is in fact chosen specifically because its pace and its beat is the exact tempo that one uses when learning how to do and thinking about hands-only CPR. I want to welcome my guest, Tom Maimon from Delray, Florida. Welcome to Health Styles.
Thank you very much, Barbara. It's nice to be here, and hopefully we will save a few lives here today.
Absolutely. So you're here in support of the American Heart Association's campaign, Staying Alive with Hands-Only CPR. I should mention that who we heard on that video, on that soundtrack, in addition to the Bee Gees, is Jennifer Coolidge, the comedian actor, who has taken the lead in helping to spread the word about this national campaign that was kicked off on June 5th. Here in New York City. So, Tom, this is a very personal part of your life that I'd love for you to share with our listeners why hands-on CPR really matters to you.
Well, the Heart Association is the only association that I do anything for. I was never involved in anything else before, and it's directly in response to what happened to me. I went out in 2009 for a 10-mile run and made it 9 miles home and dropped dead in a gentleman's driveway about a mile from my house, and a total stranger who had seen an announcement about hands-only CPR back in 2009 to the beat of Staying Alive got out of his car, called 911, and believe it or not, was singing the song as he in his head, he said. But I've heard him sing a lot lately. He kept me alive for about 9.5 minutes until the EMTs arrived. They shocked me twice and put me in the truck, and then apparently lost me again in the truck and shocked me again. And if it wasn't for that public service announcement, I would not be here talking with you today.
Wow. Well, we're really glad, and I know all your lovely family and friends and coworkers are as well. Did you have a history of cardiac issues prior to this incident?
Absolutely nothing. I actually had a full physical 2 months beforehand. I have absolutely no body fat. I had actually been on a 9 mile run 3 days before that. My standard 5 mile run was three days before that. I go to the gym between 6 and 7 days a week and work out with weights. You know, I'm very, very active. I don't eat bad. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I haven't done any of that for 25 years. Hmm. My father had a history of heart disease, but it was due to diabetes, so he was overweight. So I knew that I didn't want to go down that road. Mm-hmm. And the problem was I neglected to ask my mother a lot of questions. And on my mother's side of the family, I have a grandfather at 52 who had a massive heart attack and lived. And his father, my great-great-grandfather at 53, was apparently out in the garden, went inside, and died of a heart attack. So my heart attack happened in 2009, and I was 52. And like I said, I full full complete physical. My doctor looked at me and said, how do you stay in such good shape? You look great. Keep doing what you're doing. And I did, and went out for a 10-mile jog and dropped dead in a guy's driveway at mile 9.
So Tom Maimone, who's my guest on this segment of Health Styles, is here as a spokesperson for the American Heart Association and their new campaign supported by the WellPoint Foundation to teach Americans, to teach everyone, not just Americans, but they're starting here and perhaps it is going to go global because everything that's online can, on hands-only CPR, something that they've been doing for a while and now launching as a major effort. With a substantial grant from the WellPoint Foundation. Did you know about hands-on CPR before it was used on you, sir?
No, I did not. I raced boats way back in 85, so it was mandatory that we take a CPR course, but that was the old way they did it, so I knew how to do CPR. But one thing I'd like to get by, I mean, I am the fluke in being the anonymous jogger that falls in front of a stranger. I mean, the thing that I'd like to get across to your audience is that 70% of the time, it's a family member that has an event in the home. So the point across is that to learn such a simple way to keep somebody alive until help arrives, it could be your family member that you save by watching this simple one-minute video that the Heart Association has put together. And I believe the website is heart.org.
Yes, it is.
Hands-only CPR.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love your family, then watch the video because you could save their life. I'm the fluke. I'm the 30%, the guy that drops dead, you know, and some stranger saves their life. But that's the strongest message I can get by here. I have parents that are still alive. My dad's 89. My mother's 79. You know, and family members live with me, so I know CPR now.
I bet you do. And what about the rest of your family? Are you encouraging them to learn it as well?
All of them have learned, and all of them have been screened for heart disease.
Oh, good, good.
Including my friends and family members and everybody. When this event happened to me, I was the one that they pointed to and said, Tom's in the best shape of anybody I've ever seen.
That's always, that is something, you know, I mentioned as my listeners know, and Mr. Maimone, I'm a registered nurse. I'm a public health nurse. And when someone who, as you've described yourself, suffers a cardiac incident in such a dramatic fashion, those of us who are not running 10 miles and perhaps not following as healthy a lifestyle as you have described yourself sometimes feel a sense of, well, it's going to happen to him kind of thing. But again, I'm glad that you have shared your personal medical history that you then discovered when a further investigation in both of your parents' side of the family in terms of cardiac health. And I am sure that you're being in such great shape, given what you described as 9.5 minutes of CPR. And also when you were in the ambulance bus, that you referred to it as the bus, having a second time where your heart stopped, that all of your well-being and all of your efforts to be healthy really helped you also get back on the path to full recovery.
My heart was it ended up having triple bypass surgery 8 months later, but the gentleman that did the operation on me said my heart was the strongest heart that he's ever operated on.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So
it did help dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, this idea of perhaps people who are listening, maybe I'd like you to address people who are listening who are young and healthy and don't see themselves as needing this for themselves or the people that they're hanging out with and living with, going to school with, their own family members. What would you say to them? I mean, how does one prepare for something that they may at the moment be thinking, well, I don't really need to learn how to do hands-only CPR. I don't know that I would take care of somebody on the street. That gentleman who stopped and took care of you, I don't know if I'd see myself doing that. What would you say to them?
Well, that's why I bring back to the statistic of 70% of the time this happens in the home and it is a family member that has the event. So, you know, parents, if you love your kids, learn CPR. kids, if you love your parents, learn CPR. You may end up saving their life. That's how powerful this is. By doing CPR, you double, almost triple the chance of survival. It is that powerful. I mean, the numbers prove out. If you don't touch the person in 5 minutes, you have a 50% chance that person's going to come back. In 10 minutes, the person is pretty much going to be pronounced dead, no matter what people do. Those are the numbers.
Those are very strong and powerful numbers. We do have the one-minute soundtrack from the video that we'd like to play now so people can hear it in 1 minute, what you can learn to do and be prepared for your family. So let's go to that, Tom, and let our listeners hear it as well.
Right.
If you see a teen or adult suddenly collapse, it's important to act fast. Helping to save a life is easier than you might think. Just start hands-only CPR. The first step is to send someone to call 911 or call 911 yourself. Then get directly over the victim. Put the heel of one hand in the center of the chest. Then put your other hand on top of the first. Then push hard and fast in the center of the chest until help arrives. It's important to push at a rate of at least 100 beats per minute, which is about the same tempo as the song Stayin' Alive. Let's hope you never have to use hands-only CPR, but if you see a teen or adult suddenly collapse, don't be afraid to try it. Remember, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of the chest until help arrives. Your actions can help save a life. To learn more, call 877-AHA-4CPR or visit heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
1 minute, listeners. 1 minute. This could be around everyone hanging out around the computer together one evening. This can be something at work that you can take on as your effort to make a difference. These are the kinds of things that, from a public health perspective, really do make a difference. And I was thinking about when you were speaking earlier, my guest on this segment of Health Styles is Mr. Tom Maimone, himself volunteering at the American Heart Association to help support this campaign of hands-only CPR and to the music of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees as part of use that sound in your head, sing it along, sing out loud. For our younger folks who, everybody kind of knows that song though, don't they, Tom? Have you found generationally everybody knows that Bee Gees tune?
They seem to know that song.
It's a good one. It's a good one that they chose for all the good reasons. It is one I sort of have this visual of some of my kids and younger friends. If that music came on at a party or at a wedding or something, they all seem to even know how to use their arms in that disco version of the dance, right? But now we're asking people to learn the technique. And so while you were speaking, Tom, I was thinking about the medicine cabinet at home. The safety cabinet that each family hopefully has or has access to, and what we go to when someone needs help. And to think that in 1 minute, you can actually do more than just panic. You can do something critical first, which is dial 911 or yell for someone else who is within ear's reach to call 911 to get in an ambulance, that someone has collapsed and you're starting CPR. And in 1 minute, you can learn where to position your hands in the middle of the chest and sing that tune or hum that tune or sing it out loud. And that's the number of compressions that you would do until either someone can come and replace you, because it is nine and a half minutes is what you mentioned. The gentleman on the street who stopped to save you, he too must have been in very good shape. That's a long time to be doing it. But of course, we know adrenaline kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has to do it alone for 9.5 minutes. If others come by, they can replace you and you can show them how to do it. But the idea is to keep the blood circulating, to continue to keep the blood to the vital organs in the brain until emergency help can arrive and to take over by administering medications, getting the person immediately to the hospital. Just imagine what it would feel like to have that skill and know it. And as Tom also mentioned, that 70% of the time, these incidents happen in your home or when you're with someone that you love who's a member of your family. How powerful is that? Go ahead.
Barbara, what's so wonderful about the new age technology right now is that a kid or a father or mother can go and download that video and put it on their smartphone, and then they know what to do. If that video is a minute long, if you turn it on and watch it, you can save a life just by watching it right there. I've seen the video.
Wow, I mean,
it's that powerful. You don't need to waste your time. I'm not going to say waste your time. I would watch the video first, because once you're trained, then panic does not set in. But if you download that, put it in your smartphone. Everybody has a phone, or even download the Bee Gees song and just remember that song and push hard and fast in the middle of the chest. You will know what to do. Panic will not hit you. You will be just like a trained firefighter.
There we go. And we know that, there are many areas across the in the United States that are not close to medical help immediately, and rural areas that have begun to look at how whether in certain communities a defibrillator, is owned by and used by the fire department, the local volunteer fire department. All of these things are necessary. This is not a replacement in any means. This is a first-line defense. This is what each one of us can do in order to save a life. And so as a public health nurse, I would urge all of you to go to heart.org/hands-only CPR, or you can call that number that was announced on the public service announcement in the video, which is 877-AHA-4, the number 4, CPR. I'll repeat that, 877-AHA-4, CPR, or heart.org/hands-only CPR. Sometimes it's just a minute of your time that could make a huge difference. I wish we had an opportunity to take in calls, because perhaps others, like the gentleman who saved your life, Tom, had an opportunity to do something similar. Or perhaps their life, like your life, was saved because someone paid attention to the background of perhaps the Bee Gees tune, but also I think it was Matt Lauer's morning show that your lifesaver, had seen that year and remembered it so that he could act when he saw that you were in trouble.
Yes, I just want to thank you for everything that you've done, because if it wasn't like for people like you, Matt Lauer, seriously, I would not be here. I would not be here talking to you. Like I mentioned earlier, my parents are still alive, and no matter how old you are, you're never supposed to die before your parents.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and we will hope that all of those who are listening, maybe while we've been talking with each other, actually went and checked it out. And if not, bookmarked that site and that phone number, and will make a commitment to themselves that they, too, will learn that 1 minute exercise on how to save a life. And we can start a revolution here. These are the ways that, movements become viral. Someone tells someone else, someone shares the link to the site, and even just says, wow, in 1 minute you actually can do this. I don't have to do the breathing exercise. There have been concerns, following a lot of concerns around transfer of HIV/AIDS in doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The advancement of understanding the science and the technology around what is absolutely needed and how quickly one can start to act has led us to 2012, where we know that in 1 minute you can learn how to do these compressions, to listen in your head to the Bee Gees tune of staying alive, and really make a difference. So I want to thank you, Tom Maimone, who has joined me on Health Styles this evening from Delray, Florida, who is volunteering his time with the American Heart Association as a give back, as a thank you, for their latest campaign, Hands Only CPR, which is part of a national awareness campaign that has been supported by a grant from the WellPoint Foundation. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to help support this message.
Thank you, Barbara. You're wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Just recently, I had the opportunity to meet Carmela Lopez, who's heading a campaign called ERA Education Project. Many of you may think that, in fact, the United States has passed the Equal Rights Amendment, but in fact, we do not have equal rights. We do not have an Equal Rights Amendment. It was not passed when it was attempted the first time. And in fact, what we do know is, like a recent vote to not pass the Pay Fairness Act, women, in addition to many other ways that we're discriminated against, make 77 cents to every dollar that a man makes. This kind of lack of gender equality also impacts healthcare decisions, which in some ways the Affordable Care Act has attempted to create an equity. One being that women pay more for health insurance than men when they seek out solo insurance policies. Some of the pre-existing conditions that women have are held also like they are against men, but at a higher rate if there are premiums, as well as not perhaps getting the opportunity to have that covered. So Carmela Lopez is on a mission to make sure that we get that equal rights amendment brought back into discussion. And thankfully, Senator Carolyn Maloney here in New York has also raised the question of revisiting the return to the vote on the Equal Rights Amendment. So what does that mean? That means that over this summer, you may in fact be hearing and seeing this campaign fire up and join in with us as we try and bring this conversation back. If there was an amendment that gave women equal rights, perhaps some of the things that are happening this year as this pushback or war against women has been happening, we wouldn't be able to see. That, in fact, when women's health is political, and these types of state-by-state measures are removing the rights to things that are legal, like the access to birth control, like access to termination of pregnancy, we would not have to be fighting every step of the way. So the ERA Project, it's the ERA Education Project, is a fabulous website that you can go to and learn what does it mean that we don't have the ERA and what would it mean if we did have the ERA. She's working with high school students, college students, and students of all ages to help them remember that this is an important act. So we have a political campaign this year, and we think that this should be on the minds and the and of all citizens. And particularly, we'd like to know, what do the candidates who are running for office think about the Equal Rights Amendment, and why you should be concerned about the Equal Rights Amendment. She's put together some wonderful videos, some of them hilarious, about the Equal Rights Amendment, people who thought that, in fact, we have the Equal Rights Amendment. And what do you mean we don't have the Equal Rights Amendment? So check out that site. It is the Equal Rights Amendment, ERA Education, and you can find out yourself about the ERAEducationProject.com. Find out, what does it mean to not have the ERA, and why we want to pay attention to making sure that there is gender equity across the board in the United States. This is Barbara Glickstein. You've been tuned into Health Styles, brought to you by the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College. To find out more about our work looking at the role of media in influencing health, healthy lifestyles, and health policy, go to centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. I'm Barbara Glickstein. You've been listening to Health Styles here every Thursday evening at 11 p.m. Take care and stay tuned. Thank you.